Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. Daisy and her husband had decided they never wanted kids. When she found out she was pregnant, she immediately thought abortion. But after she and her husband met her baby on ultrasound and heard the heartbeat, their hearts melted and they chose life. Her baby Jeffrey is healthy and beautiful. Daisy and her husband can't even imagine life without him. Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
We're studying the book of 2 Thessalonians, and in chapter 1, verse 11, I want you to hear this purpose for every believer, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. That is our purpose. That's what we desire. And as we go through today and share this word and share this interview, I pray that you'll walk out and say, Lord, be glorified in me. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and we do have a special guest with us, and we'll introduce her in just a moment. But Alex, this is a real important week. We were going to do it last week, but because of the weather conditions here in the studios in Tupelo, Mississippi, we didn't get to do it a lot of programming live. So we want to tell people about Preborn. This is an opportunity for people to make a difference in children and women. And many times it results in women being saved. What an opportunity it is, brother.
Well, amen. It's good to be with you, Bert, and good to be with everybody here on Exploring the Word. And that's right. We love the ministry of Preborn. And we're going to talk right now with Roxy, I want to say this correctly, Lamaurice. And she's the executive director of Preborn. She looks after 75 passionate staff members that serve along with their board and staff, and they are saving lives. And not only that, with Preborn, expectant mothers get to see an ultrasound of their baby. The vast, vast majority of the time, they keep their baby and take the baby to term rather than abort. Praise God, but they share the gospel, souls are being saved, lives are being saved, and we want to say how much we appreciate the ministry of Preborn. So welcome to the program, Roxy, and I want to make sure I pronounce your last name correctly. So is it Lamaurice?
It's Lamaurice.
Lamaurice, I'm sorry. Well, thank you for your grace and welcome.
Well, thank you for having us. We're excited to be here. We've spent many years together raising just ultrasound machines for women across the nation.
We have, and I just want to give this for those that are wondering, what difference does it make? Alex has already said it, but when you do this and you're a part of AFR ministry and you listen and you participate, we've been doing this. We're talking about babies. And for $28, an ultrasound is done, and 80% of the time in a woman who's coming to one of these centers, they choose to keep that baby, and that lady has the gospel presented to them. So over these years, these 16 years, listen to these numbers, and Roxy, I want you to comment on them. 280,000 babies have been saved, and 80,000 women have surrendered their lives to Christ. I would say this, Roxy, that is a great, great mission opportunity for people to participate in, isn't it?
Yes, sir. And it's such a tremendous, you know, I love the title of the show, Exploring the Word. It's something that we know is true to the Word of God and the heart of our Father. He is the Father to the fatherless. And, you know, it's Christ's mission when he came here on earth to bring back many lost people to be reconciled with the Father through the gospel. And this is such an investment eternally. And actually, just in 2023, we saw more than 58,600 babies saved and more than 9,200 commitments to Christ. So there's this exponential growth because of people that are listening and supporting, owning this mission as the body of Christ in obedience to the Word of God. And because of the heart of the Father, they're just underwriting ultrasounds across the nation. And this is why even through AFR this week, we are doing this campaign. We are trying to raise more than 4,500 ultrasound scans so that we could help women across the nation for free so that they could see their babies for the first time, hear their baby's heartbeat, and have an opportunity to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's $28 per scan, or for some, maybe $140 for five. You can do it one time. You can do it monthly. AFR.net, preborn.com. Or if you want to pick up the phone, you can just dial #250 and keyword baby, and it makes a lot of difference.
Amen. Amen. What a joy. And Roxy, we just appreciate what you're doing so much. And folks, again, the website, if you want to give securely online, AFR.net, as in American Family Radio, AFR.net/preborn, or you can call 877-616-2396. And $28, and like Roxy said, you know, you can two for $56 and so forth. But that's just amazing. $28, I mean, that's less than a tank of gas to save the life of an unborn baby and to have the gospel presented to people. And so that's really wonderful. And hey, I've got to ask you this. Since the overturning of Roe versus Wade, Roxy, have you seen a change in the way people view the unborn and maybe a value of human life go up in the hearts of people at all?
The reality is that the landscape really just changed where abortion happens. Now it's like digitally, and we see people actually moving from abortion restricted states onto more liberal states that actually perform abortion towards like almost up to birth in some states. The reality is the issue is still very much alive. It just looks very different. Hence, the mission remains the same. It is still our job to reach the woman where she is. You actually see the numbers of the states, if they are a reporting state, with abortion rising, if they're directly next to those states that have restricted abortion. So we continue to encourage people to join in the battle and the fight, because this battle is actually far from over, because you have states that are enshrining abortion as a right in some areas. And we just see that. And you see some people like laughing when, you know, when you have this law set in place, and it's really heartbreaking. But again, it is still our job as a body of Christ. We have the hope through the gospel, and we have an opportunity even right here and right now to continue to even in the middle of all these arguments to zone in and focus our eyes on one woman, one at a time. And I think I can share this, that, you know, even with everything that's happening, our goal is to help transform the heart of one woman because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I could share a story of this young lady, because I used to serve in California, which is one of the hardest, you know, states to serve in when it comes to the issue of abortion. Very volatile towards the Ministry of Life, 110,000 abortion in LA County alone. And I used to serve there as a nurse, and I've seen the power of this ultrasound like face to face. I remember doing an ultrasound of this young lady who's very career-minded. She really wanted an abortion. She didn't want us to talk to her about anything, but by just grace of God, she actually allowed me to perform an ultrasound to her. And so I start praying. I said, God, I need help. You know, I need help. She's just so hard. And this lady laid on the ultrasound table. She placed her arm at the back of her head. And then like, God, I need your help. I want to be able to minister life. So I performed this ultrasound, and we have this large screen in front of her. And when the ultrasound flashed, the baby was far, she was farther along. The baby was bigger. And lo and behold, the baby was laying in her womb the same way she was laying on that ultrasound bed.
Amen.
And then we had her listen to the heartbeat. Mm. It broke her. She started crying. She chose life for that baby. And it opened a way for me to share the truth about the gospel. And that day, she also chose life for herself by receiving Christ as her Savior.
Amen. Stories
wow.
like that.
Powerful.
Stories like that abound at pre-born centers. And where they usually place them, Roxy, is I've talked to Dan several times, they want to put them in strategic locations where you have a large segment of people that would go that are abortion-minded, and you guys purposely go to these places to say, hey, there's a better way. I appreciate that. And now, because of the abortion pill, it's not as much as the abortion meals that they have. It's the abortion pill that's over 50% of them are doing. But you guys are still active in helping with that, aren't you?
Yeah. So we, as a ministry, are very aware that, you know, there's 58% of abortion now happening online. But there's also abortion states that, like, is just so open to abortion. So preborn is actually actively based placing ultrasound machines and helping build clinics across the nation, supporting them so that we can actually attack this issue from all fronts.
We are. And right now, Alex, I mean, we're talking about our president trying to have executive orders to make states be even with Roe v. Wade being overturned, trying to use their power to make abortion more ready, even in difficult states. So this is a moral issue. It's a spiritual issue. And then it turns into that, which is political. But preborn, Roxy, I just want to say it. You guys are on the front line, not just with voting, not just talking, but doing. And I just want to say, Roxy, I appreciate preborn and you guys being a part of that.
We appreciate everyone being a part of it. Our ability to be able to, you know, fight this battle really comes with all of us as a body of Christ doing everything that we can together, because that honors the Lord. Like last year, we were able to place 83 ultrasound machines across the nation, like we talked about, and we continue to want to place more. The need has never been greater. And if that's something that the Lord has blessed you with, you want to participate in, an ultrasound machine is $15,000 as a leadership gift. If you have the capacity, the Lord has blessed you, you're looking for kingdom investment, this is an opportunity to be able to do so. It's completely tax deductible. It will be placed where there's a greatest need. It's a brand new machine that we place across the nation. It's supposed to have a lifetime of some of them last for 10 years, underwrites almost 2,500 ultrasound scans. That's 2,500 scans that we could give for free for many women that are trying to make a decision about life or death.
You know, Roxy, Alex McFarland here. The fact that the president would try to go around the law and force states to provide abortions, and really, I should phrase it this way, remove any legal protection for the unborn, when our founding documents say that you're guaranteed the right to life. This shows that this is more than a legal or intellectual battle. This is a spiritual battle, isn't it?
A spiritual battle.
It is.
It is. I mean, it's very clear, right? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ come, that we may have life and life more abundantly. It all boils down to what the Word of God really calls us and where to stand as believers and followers.
Thank you, Roxy. Thank you so much for being with us. Alex and I will be back right after this break. We want to welcome a new sponsor to American Family Radio, and I hope you give them your full support. That's Christian Healthcare Ministries, chministries.org. If you're like most of us, you're feeling the strain of rising healthcare costs. Well, good news. Christian Healthcare Ministries may be the answer you're looking for. CHM is an affordable, faith-based option to traditional healthcare that provides members the freedom to choose doctors without worrying about networks or waiting periods, since they're not insurance. Can you say freedom? CHM is the longest-serving health cost-sharing ministry and has been around for over 40 years, helping Christians pay for and pray for one another's medical bills. They're tried and true and have members in all 50 states and around the world and have covered billions in medical bills. Members not only get advantages from the affordability, flexibility, and reliability of CHM, but they also receive access to 24/7 telehealth services at no additional cost. It's no surprise that doctors across the country appreciate working with CHM, and so will you. Make the switch today by visiting chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my
Let's talk about our Jesus. We do that on Exploring the Word, and we're so honored that you're here with us today. We are in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper. And we're so glad that you're listening. And Bert, I was reading verses 11 and 12, which conclude chapter 1. By the way, there are only 47 verses in 2 Thessalonians, under 50 verses, but it is full of power and truth. And, you know, in a way, verses 11 and 12 kind of almost summarize the experience of being a Christian and the experience of being a part of the church, to pray for each other, that God has a calling on our life, and that we would fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Christian journey, isn't it, Bert?
It really is, and it's our calling. He has called us, and we're to fulfill it with our good pleasure. I mean, it pleases the Lord, and I want to tell you, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to row against the tide. It's not always easy to stand when everyone else is going a different way, but we stay that way. But through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, this work of faith gives power. I could not help but notice that in verse 11, Alex. Listen, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. He does not leave us as orphans. The Holy Spirit has come to live in us, to be a part of our lives, to indwell us, and to strengthen us with all we need for life and godliness. He does His work in us and then through us. He'll do the work in us, and then through His power, it works its way out through us to others, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him. Alex, I agree with you. That summarizes what the whole purpose of the Christian is to glorify Him, to be saved, to know Him, and to glorify Him. And according to the grace of our Lord, it's all by grace. It's not our works, is it?
Well, that's true, and it will revolutionize your Christian life, folks, if you understand that our privilege and our calling is to bring Him glory. And then also that we are, as Romans 12 says, a living sacrifice. You know, the sacrifice on the altar doesn't call out the orders. The sacrifice is to be surrendered. And that's what we are. And folks, even born-again Christians can get frustrated, can be emotionally, you know, angry or feel disappointed or stressed. But here's the thing. Glorification of Jesus, stewardship, and being a faithful, obedient manager of the things that he has entrusted to us. Mindful, verse 11, that we're living under his calling, and we are to live worthy of that call. Bert, when it comes down to gratitude, worship, glorifying the name of Jesus, he must increase, I must decrease, I want to be a faithful steward. When those kind of things become our priorities, it really does revolutionize our life, doesn't it?
It really does. And many people have experienced this. If you're one of those that say, well, I don't know what y'all talking about. I'm trying. I'm striving. It's all up to me. Listen, I want to tell you, turn your heart over to the Lord. Come to the place in your life where you realize that God's Word says that our very best, the best that we can produce, our righteousness, is his filthy rags in the sight of God. In other words, no matter what good, I saw this person. They said, why do I need God? I don't drink. I don't curse. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't run around in immoral ways. Why do I need God? You need a relationship. That's what you need. Yes, that's the best man can produce, and that is a life that may be clean, but it's not right with God. And so today, we would love for you to get right with God, and you can call our friends. We've talked about preborn, but I want to give you another number, and it's 800, or really, 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM, and they'll pray with you. They'll help you to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because it's not just what you don't do. It's not just what you do. It's who you are, and who you are you a born-again believer? Or are you someone who has never trusted Christ and rejected him? Matter of fact, we're going to get to that in the chapter 2. Those that want to deceive, those that want to go the wrong way. So please follow Christ. Make that call today. 888-NEED-HIM. They'll pray with you and they'll help you. Alex, when you come to chapter 2, verse 1, notice the first word, now.
Yeah.
We really get to, now I'm not saying what Paul wrote beforehand was not important. It was, but we get to the crux of the matter in this middle chapter, chapter 2. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had taught them, he had written a letter about it, but they had been people that had come in and deceived them. According to verse 3, they had been deceived. Have you found out the second coming is an area where great deception can take place?
Well, listen to this. I'm out here teaching. I had a young lady, a college freshman, come up to me a couple of days ago, a little bit shaken, and she said that they were out at the mall shopping, and a group came up passing out literature, and they said, Jesus has already come back, and the second coming has already happened. And, you know, this young lady came up to talk to Angie and me, and she was, you know, a new Christian. And, I mean, she was rattled. And she said, really? Has the second coming already happened? She said, because this group that approached us at the mall, they were very persuasive. And so I relate to this verse, like in verse 1 of chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's future tense. He hasn't come back yet. And by our gathering together unto him, the good news is one day we are going to be gathered together with Christ. That you be not soon shaken in mind or trouble, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of man. Bert, we know Christ is coming back, and God has a record of 100% accuracy in keeping his promises. But here are two things that, folks, you don't want to be misled on. Don't let anybody tell you that they have discovered the date. We don't set dates because the Bible is clear that no one knows the day or the hour. And the other thing, we don't want you to be misled saying that he's come back and it's some secret second coming. No, when he comes, the world will know. Every eye will see, every ear will hear, won't they?
They will. And these words are so important, that gathering together in him. He described that in the first letter he wrote. When we're caught up together with the Lord in the air, that is the gathering, that is the rapture. And now, not be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word. And then the next one really got my attention, or letter, as it was from us. Somebody had written a false letter between the Paul's two letters. He had written 1 Thessalonians, and now he is writing 2 Thessalonians months later, but someone obviously had written a letter claiming it being from Paul that was able to deceive them. And so this is Satan. Satan will do anything. Lie, cheat, he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. He'll do anything to get you off track concerning God's purpose and plans for your lives, even those of us who are believers. He can't keep you from being saved because you've already trusted Christ, but he wants to make you ineffective. And this had worked for some because some had said, well, there's no need of us working anymore. You know, a lot of things had taken place. But, Alex, that by letter, as is from us, the deception of Satan has been going on a long time, hasn't it?
Well, that's true. And people that are in Satan's service will be deceptive. You know, without getting us off track here, there's a pretty famous atheist on YouTube, and he's very bold and just so demeaning about Christianity. And I've known for a long time that the atheists, they will be very selective in what they share or don't share. And so we've got an evangelist friend who's a great apologist with an earned PhD, and he created several videos pointing out the way that this particular atheist has lied, not just slightly mistaken, I mean, out and out lied. And when he was called on it, the atheist proselytizing for unbelief, he said, well, I had to do it because we can't let these Christians take over the world. So here's the thing, like in verse 3, people being deceived and people doing the deceiving. Folks, Satan, one of his titles is he's a liar. Satan is a liar. Don't be misled. God is real. The Bible is true. Jesus did rise. Evolution is false. Transgenderism is false. Truth is still truth. And by reading this, which is probably one of Paul's very earliest letters, Bert, the battle for truth is present in every generation, isn't it?
It really is. Now, look, I don't want to jump down there, but it goes along what you said. Look in verse 10. He's talking about truth, the love of truth, that they might be saved. There's truth. Look at verse 12. Believe the truth. They did not believe the truth. Verse 13, and believe in the truth. So Paul is setting this up, Alex, just as you said. Yes, truth. And listen, truth trumps tradition. Truth,
yes,
trumps opinion. It trumps popularity polls. Truth is where you want to stand, isn't it?
Well, it is. And folks, make the decision. I shared this earlier on another AFR show that I was on, but I just thank God, and it was totally God. But as a brand new believer at age 21, I just made a decision in my mind that I believed the Bible as God's word, and I didn't care that my friends made fun of me, and they did make fun of me, but I believe the Bible is God's word. Now, 30 years and 20 books and go into 72 different sites in the Holy Land and research, and everything I've studied for 30 years has validated this. But Bert, somehow by the grace of God, I had this conviction in my heart at 21 years old that I was going to believe the Bible. And I want to challenge every one of you. Nowadays, it's very fashionable. People cave in on homosexuality, gay marriage, transgender, moral issues. Folks, there are 8 billion people on the planet right now. You need to purpose in your mind and say, look, if I'm the last one standing and 8 billion people call me crazy, doesn't matter. I'm going to stand with God and His Word. And that is a decision that you will not regret.
Amen. If you need encouragement to do that, read the book of Daniel. I got sermons. Hey, you preached as long as I have over, 50 years preaching. You've got a lot of sermons, and one of those is Standing in the Evil Day. And one of the greatest examples of that is Daniel. He would take his stand. And so we're encouraging. This is what Paul is saying here. Don't be deceived. Take your stand. Now, I'm going to play on these words, because you're in good standing when you believe the Word of God. And so you're standing on a firm foundation. And it says here, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless you see the following way. Now, the day that I think he's talking about here is the second coming, not the rapture. I think he's already talked about the rapture, in my understanding, in chapter 2, the gathering together. And now he's saying these people thought the quote, the rapture had already taken place, and now they were in the tribulation. That's why he wrote chapter 1, because you remember those words we talked about yesterday? He used them again and again, tribulation, suffering, difficulties, afflictions. They were all there, and they said, oh, man, we've missed it. And Paul is writing and says, no, because, Alex, in this world, we're going to have the difficulties. But what happens in that day is exponentially. It's going to get to it later in verse 7. I know we're going around and around, but because the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit will be lifted. Now, the Holy Spirit is not completely taken out of the world during the tribulation, those 7 years, because no one would be saved apart from the Holy Spirit. But the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit and the church has been taken out. So that which restrains evil in our day is going to be lifted. And in that 7 years, it's going to be beyond description of how difficult it is. But it's not going to happen unto two things. And it says a falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed. Now, we don't have time to develop all that, but I'm throwing out the bait for folks to listen to tomorrow, because we really want to get into that. But the whole idea today, and Alex, I want you to say and talk about it as we go into the last segment. And by the way, that phone number, if you want to make ask a question, is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We would love to have your question. But Alex, what Paul is doing more than anything is, do not be deceived. And the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is our weapon against that, isn't it?
Well, amen. Amen. That's true. The Holy Spirit. I love verse 7. 7 is a somewhat complicated verse, but it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. But when the Holy Spirit, and there's a lot we'll say about this maybe tomorrow, when the Holy Spirit is gone from this world, it will be chaos, tribulation. We're going to come back, take your phone call, stay tuned. Exploring the Word is back after this.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Jesus is enough.
Jesus is enough.
When you're up on the mountaintop or walking through the valley below.
Okay, thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We're cutting into that early because we got a lot of things we want to get done. Hey, remember, we interviewed Roxy, and we want to give that number for Preborn if you want to be a part of saving babies and mothers being witnessed to, and those mothers having the opportunity to know Jesus Christ. This is a mission point for you. This is something you can participate in and be a part of. $28 provides a woman seeking abortion a free ultrasound where they can have the opportunity to choose life after they see the baby, and then they hear the gospel presented to them. $140 would, that therefore would purchase five of those. And you can participate in this by going to AFR.net. That's AFR.net, and you'll see it. You can follow the link, and it will help you. Or go to, or you can call this number, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. And also, Facebook is really, hey, we had a hiatus, not purposeful, but because of the weather. Facebook kind of, but today it's coming back. Brent, how's Facebook doing?
We are doing really good. We are about 200 away from 8,000 followers.
So, okay, wow. 200. So yeah. We need 200 of those who are listening. 200.
To like us on Facebook.
Yes. To like us on Facebook. So yeah, it's exactly. Today it's pretty active,
it's
right?
It's very active today. Some days it's just there's a huge chat going on in the comments between.
Are we getting any thumbs up?
A ton of them.
Okay, I know that much about Facebook. Thumbs up's good. Thumbs down's bad. I want more thumbs
so
up. Yeah, I know. Hey, I'm Mr. Untech. They call Mr. Tech. I'm Mr. Untech. Hey, Alex, we got phone calls. Are you ready to take these phone calls, brother?
Let's do it. And where shall we begin?
Let's go to Texas and talk to David. David, thank you for calling.
Thank y'all for taking my call. So my question is about spiritual gifts. And I've been taught that the miraculous gifts especially aren't practiced anymore because they were only performed during the early church era to help authenticate the apostles' message. But now that the New Testament has been written, we no longer need to perform those signs because we have the written proof of in the New Testament. Can y'all give me what y'all believe about that?
Thank you, David, for your good calling. Let me say this, and Alex and I do, we believe in the spiritual gifts. Now, the way some people might practice them may not be all that is to be biblical if you compare it, but we still need spiritual gifts. I believe that God can give a word of knowledge. I do believe God can give discernment to someone. Alex, you've experienced especially the New Testament way in the book of Acts, not as much as is in the first book of 1 Corinthians, but in Acts where it was really a language issue that was in, I know it was South America. Was it in Ecuador or where was it?
Peru.
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 That's one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard.
Well, amen. So the short answer, no, I don't believe the spiritual gifts have stopped any of them. And let me say, and this is worth talking about a little bit, there are two schools of thought. One is called continuationism, and the other is cessationism, now like in ceasing. Cessationalists will say that once the Bible is complete, and they base this on 1 Corinthians 13, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. And they'll say that, well, that which is perfect is the Bible. And hey, the Bible is perfect. The Bible is the Word of God. But I don't think it means that any of the work of the Holy Spirit has stopped. And really, Bert, cessationism developed in the Reformation among some people that are Christians, but some strata of Christians that I don't completely agree with anyway. And look, I love the body of Christ and all of her variants, but I think the Holy Spirit can do now anything the Holy Spirit has ever done. And I really, you know, when you read the book of Acts, I think the Spirit of God can do any of those miracles. Bert, all it takes is a trip to the foreign mission field, and you'll see that the Holy Spirit of God is very much alive and working. Would you agree?
Hallelujah. Let me give you this real quick, and I did not come up with it. I'm just reporting what I've heard. What you do, sometimes we think spiritual gifts for the believer is the answer to any and everything. It's part of what we do, and it's use shape as your acrostic. S is spiritual gift. H is your heart or your passion. God will give you a passion for a group of people, for a country, a ministry. A is your ability. There's a difference in spiritual gifts and abilities. A look at the abilities that was used to make the tabernacle. When you see what Moses said to build the tabernacle and all the people that was used in order to get all that done, all the abilities were amazing. Personality. Every personality is different. Whatever your personality is, it causes that spiritual gift to be a little different. It causes your passion to be expressed a little differently. And finally, E is your experience. God doesn't waste any of those. So work your shape, S-H-A-P-E, your spiritual gift, your heart or your passion, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. And I want to tell you, you'll see God use you in an amazing way. David, thank you for that good call. We appreciate it, brother. We hope you got the answer. We'll tell the Peru story sometime when we got more of time. It's awesome.
Yes.
Lisa from Mississippi. Welcome, Lisa.
Hey, Brother Bert and Brother Alex. How are y'all today?
We are great
Bless.
Today.
Thank you for calling.
We're up to 60 degrees in Tupelo, Mississippi. That's how good we are, Lisa. Yes.
I know. Look, I'm calling about the scripture and about if you see someone sinning and you don't say anything, then that sin is projected onto you. That sin rests on you. It's sort of like silence is your consent to that sin. Do y'all know what I'm talking about?
Alex, is that over in the book? Where is that? Romans?
Ezekiel 3:18,
yeah, that's it.
I believe.
And Romans talks a little bit about, he uses that and expands it. You go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, well, you know, in the context of Ezekiel, and Bert, this got my attention as a young Christian to really be a soul winner. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked of his way and save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand.
Yeah.
Now, also the Old Testament gives the illustration of a watchman on the wall, and if the watchman doesn't alert the city to impending danger, you know, they would be accountable. Let me just say, on the one hand, everybody is answerable to God on their own. But at the same time, look, we who are born-again believers, and we know saved versus lost, and we see people, and we know they are not ready to meet God. Bert, I think what this does, in the strongest possible terms, it illustrates that we honestly do have an obligation. And I'm just going to tell you, there was a guy when I was a young believer, and I used to go in this guitar store, and he was the manager, and I was playing in a group and later playing in church, and I had bought a guitar there and bought an amp. And this guy was, I know he was lost, and he cursed, and I knew I was supposed to go witness to him. But I was intimidated, Bert. I was kind of afraid of this guy because he was a big guy, and I didn't know what to say. And I kept saying, one of these days, I'm going to go in there, and I need to talk to him about Jesus. And I went in one day, and he wasn't there. And I said, where is John was his name. Where's John? And the guy said, oh, didn't you hear? Saturday night, he was out driving his motorcycle, and he had one too many, and he lost control, and he crashed his motorcycle, and he died. And I'm telling you, it was like a dagger went through my heart. And I said, oh, God, forgive me. I was supposed to witness to this guy. And I know, you know, I'm saved, and I don't think that guy was. But I said, Lord, if you will help me, I'm never going to let that happen again. When the Spirit of the Lord tells me to talk to somebody, I'm going to do my best and try. But, Bert, we are accountable, aren't we?
We are, and that's the main thing. The other part of that, Lisa, is be careful. If they got a speck in their eye and you have the beam in your own eye, the Bible says, and again, I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm just talking about what the Scripture says. And one of the greatest convictions there is a godly life lived among people. It really is. I've seen that convict folks more than even words. And so live your life as an audience for an audience of one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And others will see that, and they can be convicted and then brought to Christ. Lisa, thank you for calling. Let's go back to Texas and talk to Iris. Iris, thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. And I do want to brag on the Pray for the Family Bible that I got from y'all. And I have recommended it to my Pregnancy Resource Center support group and to many others. It's wonderful. I love it.
Well, let
I
me,
recommend
I want,
it to anybody.
Let,
to still get it.
Amen, Iris. I will, too. I'm using it myself. Alex and I have challenged people to read the Bible through this year, and you can do it in several ways. But using that Bible has been a blessing to me. Because of the weather, I'm ahead of time, Alex.
Yeah,
I'm already into February to read, is concerned. But it is a great. Iris, thank you for that testimony. You got a question for us?
Yes, and that was regarding the 23rd, and also the devotionals daily are absolutely beautiful, a little prayer in there. But about Joseph, I mean, I wondered this today when it popped out in verse 46, when Joseph brought his family to Egypt to Pharaoh, and they were before Pharaoh, and he told them, "You are to say that we're shepherds," and it says that the Egyptians despised shepherds. I tried to look that up, and I didn't get a clear definition. Why did Egyptians despise shepherds?
Well, let me just share with you. Shepherds was not the most glorious profession in the world. Matter of fact, even in Israel, where you had a lot of shepherds, they were kind of out of the society. They would not be invited to the nicest places, would they, Alex?
No, they wouldn't. And, it's interesting to me how, Jesus is the good shepherd, and the sheep that were raised, the lambs were for temple sacrifice. I mean, shepherds and lambs and that whole imagery was a big part of the salvation story. And yet, not only among like the Egyptians, but even within the Jewish culture, being a shepherd was really looked down on. It was a lowly vocation. And they said, shepherds maybe didn't smell all that good. But isn't it something that our God, remember, it says that Jesus humbled himself, and Jesus called himself the good shepherd.
Amen.
And our God humbled himself. And I don't know, the whole imagery of shepherds and sheep reminds us that we need to be humble before God too.
Amen. And just think, on that night when the incarnation, Jesus, he was born, the angels appeared to who? Let me see. I believe it was shepherds.
I know it is.
That's and God, listen, God is amazing who he uses. He's chosen the foolish things, the weak things, to confound the world. And I tell folks I'm qualified because he chose me. And, Alex, I'm qualified in many ways. But the shepherds, they were looked down in Egyptian society, Iris, and not only in Egypt but other places as well. We've elevated it because Jesus has elevated the position of shepherd himself. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Ed. Ed, thank you for calling.
Hey, yes, sir. I had called once before and asked you about Jesus and politics. What? Why do you think the pulpit is silent when it comes to politics? Because we just celebrated the Sanctity of Human Life Week. Thank God my pastor stood up. He talked about abortion and stuff like that. But you rarely ever hear of politics and stuff like that. And we're in a time this year of voting, and our country's in a mess. So would you give me that book about Jesus and politics and comment on that, please?
Okay, Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, a friend and a colleague, Neil Mammen, he's a wonderful Christian brother of Indian descent, brilliant, brilliant, godly man. His last name is spelled Mammen. It looks like Mammon, but it's pronounced Mammon. Neil Mammen wrote a book, Jesus is Involved in Politics. And let me say to all the pastors out there, preach on moral, social, and political issues. 3/4 plus of your congregants want you to, but the vast majority of pastors never do. Bert, why are the pulpits silent on political issues? I think there's ignorance, fear, and then flat-out disobedience.
I would not disagree at all. Let me just share this.
Yeah.
If there's a preacher out there and he doesn't know if his church would receive it, and fear may be keeping him from doing that a little bit, just let me suggest something. Preach through the book of 1 Corinthians. Preach through the book of 1 Corinthians and the book of Romans. And I just want to tell you, you will have to purposely avoid preaching on those moral issues if you're going to go through those books, Alex.
Yeah.
You're going to preach on them and teach on them. That's a suggestion for those that are preachers and teachers. Do that. 1 Corinthians, Romans, do that. And I think the world will listen.
Pastors, if you don't deal with politics, I assure you, one day politics will deal with you. Yep. And it's happening, isn't it, Bert?
It really does. That doesn't mean that you have to. You can even endorse people. It's been proven you can. They try not to get you to, but I'm not going to get onto that too highly. But just preach on the issues of the day, and you're going to be involved in politics. And so let me encourage you to do that. Be a part of that. And I thank God to bless you. Alex, we'll continue it with 2 Thessalonians tomorrow. You going to be ready?
I'll be ready, folks. Thanks for listening. Tell somebody about Exploring the Word, but most of all, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
I want to thank our sponsors, Preborn and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Preborn Network clinics have rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day they save 200 babies' lives. But they can't do it without our help. Will you head over to preborn.com/AFR and sponsor an ultrasound? Christian Healthcare Ministries is the longest-serving healthcare cost-sharing ministry, helping Christians pay for and pray for one another's medical bills. Make the switch today and start saving. Visit chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR.